This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Money Moves coming at you from downtown Las Vegas, live at Circa Resort and Casino. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Coming up in 30 minutes, we will have VSiN market analyst Josh Applebaum join the program, get into a little MLB. Short seven-game slate today, but Shohei Ohtani making his pitching debut for the Dodgers against the Padres today. Mm-hmm. See where that money is moving. We've got Stanley Cup final. We've got NBA finals. But I did want to just wrap up a couple more things here on the back end of last segment. We were talking about, I'm not going to go Cowboys
gotta
on
go.
You.
I was going to say.
I explained it, though.
Get it out.
We're going to save
you
this for
down.
Wednesday. Well, no. So did anybody
Stormy had
see
a Cowboy take loaded up, and then she got scared by the
I did
internet's
not get scared.
Reaction.
It was making fun of that. But what I'll say is the headline that was coming out of Dak Prescott's press conference or whatever media availability this past weekend was just cracking me up that, like, everywhere you see Dak Prescott wants to win a Super Bowl. Like, no kidding. Doesn't everyone in the NFL want to win a Super Bowl? Is that news?
Well, you know what that is. Look,
it's because it's the star on the
helmet,
or what?
It's the NFL. It's the NFL. We've become so trained as a sports media cycle to just thirst for the National Football League. Mm-hmm. That, and by the way, like, hockey fans should take offense to this too. You got a 3-2 series that has been pretty good that can't even make headlines here. By the way, with a league partner, we should note.
Yeah.
It's just a starvation for NFL news. So even I'm willing to bet if Bryce Young said something, yeah, they'd probably salivate after it. But, like, that's the thing. It's just you need NFL coverage all the time. And that's exactly what it is.
I'm shocked I haven't heard.
Get the vein ready and just shoot it in.
I haven't heard one of those head coach cliches come out of, like, you know, every year there's only 7 or 8 teams that realistically can win a Super Bowl, and I think we're one of them. I haven't really heard that one make the rounds yet, but I know it's going to happen.
It's coming.
It's coming in short order.
Yeah, Stormy, the NFL Hall of Fame game is, like, around the corner. Well, you better get ready for this. Like, we're
here.
We're ready.
Which is, I saw a tweet, I think it had to have been Saturday, that said we are 10 Saturdays away from college football.
Mm-hmm.
Too. Like, it's just, it is coming here fast and furious, which is such a good reminder, by the way, that right now, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you come join us on a subscription. You get all the access to the NFL betting guide, which is going to be coming out. We'll have a college football betting guide like we always do. And Josh Applebaum, who's joining us later this hour, you get the early bird special for his football, like, preview book talking about all of the market insights. So if you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, VSiN.com/subscribe, you get the discount. You get access to everything we have here on the network from the website perspective, as well as all of our football guide stuff. So really good stuff that is coming in tow. But what I was going to set this up with, I didn't even mean to go down the football realm, and look what you've done to me, is the Kevin Durant of it all, because I feel like, especially with you being our NBA expert, our senior writer here, talking all things NBA, like, your opinion is warranted. Do you have a thought on where he could ultimately end up?
I mean, I would say it's probably one of those three teams that we're discussing here. Excuse me. It seemed likely that San Antonio might be one of these teams that could be in the contention for not only him but for Giannis. But it seems, and I think this is a smart thing, that they are more willing to go down the path of, no, we'll just let the youth core build. Like, we'll try to do the Thunder thing where it looks like we're going to be there forever and an intimidating force in the Western Conference. So no need to try to step on the gas and get that done. So I think it's probably going to be one of those teams. It depends on what the package is going to be. I do wonder if you're Phoenix, do you see this Desmond Bane trade and try to reset the market yourself for Kevin Durant, right, and what you're going to get back for him? I would still assume, just given his age, length of contract, that it's still going to be a little bit less than what Desmond Bane demanded. But again, too, that package was set by a singular team, not so much like the market as a whole. So I still think that he'll probably end up on one of these fringe teams that feels like they're a piece away. Houston makes sense. Miami makes sense to an extent. Again, Miami especially, because I think they're just kind of desperate to get right back into the mix. And an Eastern Conference that, as we're kind of alluding to, look, there's some upward mobility. You look around the East when you're talking about Orlando potentially being the second-best team in the conference. The New York Knicks are still there, but they can't figure out their coaching shirts to save their lives at this point right now. The Bucks are a flawed team that are missing a player because of an Achilles injury. Philly is Philly. Who knows what heights they reach, considering what a nightmare was last year. Like, that's a Eastern Conference where if you add a Kevin Durant to the Miami Heat, you could find yourself in contention for a 4-5 seed if you're Miami. Okay. And so I think it makes sense that they'd be in the realm of that too. But if, like, you're Houston, for example, if you go get, I'd ask you, if I tell you today that they get to keep their young core intact, They have Kevin Durant on the roster. Next year, do you think they're better than Oklahoma City? I mean, do you think they're better than Denver? Do you think they're better, right?
No.
So, like, I just, if you're some of these teams, you're doing that math, and you're wondering if it's even worth going out and getting him. So, he'll end up, I think, on one of those teams. I think Miami's probably makes the most sense, but I don't think it's going to be some massive shaker or mover that's going to make me think that team is now the team.
For anyone who missed it as well, by the way, I know a lot of question marks were, well, does the Giannis Antetokounmpo domino need to fall first? And the report from Brian Windhorst a few days ago was reportedly that the Bucks are not going to trade Giannis, at least for the short term, and see what that looks like. So, okay, still wait and see on Kevin Durant, but obviously the Desmond Bain trade, huge over the weekend. It was a fun weekend in sports in general. We talked a lot about what J.J. Spahn did with the U.S. Open. If you missed any of that discussion from Hour 1, remember you can always download Money Moves in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. But last half of this segment, let's talk a little Stanley Cup Final because we haven't gotten into it much so far. Oilers tomorrow night will be facing elimination for the first time this postseason too. And think about that, going back to round one, they were down 0-2 to the Los Angeles Kings and stormed back to win four straight and win that series in six. So they have not faced elimination the whole way here. Last year, we know they had to do it four straight games in the Stanley Cup Final against the Florida Panthers, ultimately losing that thing in seven. The biggest issue, and I'm curious your opinion on this, for the Oilers, and there have been many throughout the course of the series, is digging themselves in these first period holes. It is every single game, it feels like.
Yeah, it's what we've talked about with this team before. You know, we keep coming back to the same word, and I think it's fair. I think the way the Oilers are playing hockey is unsustainable. You talk about these first period holes or these holes in general that they continue to put themselves in. It is unlikely that you are going to constantly win those games. It would be foolhardy to just go, yeah, now let's just be within two goals, guys, in the third period. And like, we could do this against the best team in hockey. We can come back.
And they have, but yes, that's not something you can rely on.
Right,
to your point.
And they've also failed to dig themselves out of some of those holes, which is why they're down 3-2 in the series and potentially on the verge of elimination. So I just, again, to ask this team now, like, you just got to win. You can't lose again. Got to win two straight here. And I just don't know if that's something you can do against this Florida team, especially with one of these being in Florida and how good they've been. And they, at the very least, it's funny, it's almost the opposite of Edmonton, which is this team just continues to blow these leads against this Oilers squad. But I fancy a guess that they're not going to do that again in this series.
Which is, quite frankly, very different from what we've seen from Florida throughout the postseason to this point. Yep. Greg Wyshynski has made the comment multiple times on national media, and I think he might have even said it on our air too, that they are one of those teams that when they smell blood in the water, they pounce and they take advantage of it. And they haven't really done that as much in this series until recently, in this past game, most notably. But game overs have been a huge trend here. Every single game has had seven or more goals. Every first period has gone over. Maybe a little more bang for your buck, though, if you're just betting the Panthers' first period team total over. Based on how we're talking about this, game one, they're down 2-1. Down 2-0 in game three, 2-0 in game four, 3-0 in game five. Even game two, when the Oilers had a first period lead, they still gave up two goals there. So, yeah. I mean, you're getting a little bit better odds on the Panthers specifically there. But the Oilers offensively just looked so miserable and anemic at times. Looking at some of their even strength numbers in that last game per natural stat trick.
Yep.
Yeah. Edmonton only had three high danger scoring chances the whole game.
That's the one that stuck out to me.
Massive.
Yep. Like, they've generally been good, and they've had the small edge throughout this entire series at even strength and generating high danger chances. The fact that not only they only had three, but they were, you know, they were in a minus six hole for the game in terms of high danger chances overall, that to me screamed like, hey, Florida's starting to like impose their will in this series. And you kind of started to see that in these games down the stretch. Florida in two of the last three games has had the high danger chance edge, and they have limited them in those edges, right? The two games that they won in totality, the Oilers at even strength generated six total high danger chances. We're talking about obviously the last game and then in game three when they won that 6-1. If the Panthers can do that, you're cooked.
Listen to this. They didn't generate a full expected goal in almost 50 minutes of 5-on-5 in that last game.
By the way, same as game three.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, if they're going to win, they're going to win pretty big, it would seem.
Yeah. Florida has just looked bigger, badder, deeper, all of those things. And I wouldn't blame anybody for laying the minus 148 in Florida. But I feel like Edmonton has had this little magic. Every time you count them out, they find a way back in. They have won a game in Florida. They did tie the series at two. So facing elimination in this situation where they have been so good, maybe they can make a little bit more magic here. That said, when Mattias Ekholm, who's your big defensive defenseman, is leading your team in shots on goal, that's not a recipe for success. That's not a good sign.
So how are we feeling? Are you rooting for...
I don't feel good about it. Oh, and I don't think our audience knows.
Well, so that aside, though, so we have our show bet, the ramifications of which we will announce because we have settled on. We have that. You also, though, have Sam Bennett.
Yes.
To win the Conn Smythe. You're in a very good position. He's a massive odds on favorite
to win
this thing.
But I don't even feel great about that anymore because of the timely and impactful goals that Brad Marchand has scored. So, yes, Sam Bennett is minus 220 right now. I think he's going to win. I hope he's going to win. I think he should win. But if we get another...
Do you think that's realistic or are you just being pessimistic?
I think it's very possible. And I was actually texting with Jonathan Davis the other day, and he said that he threw in a plus 450 on Marchand to win it as like a little safety net because he's been so annoying the way that he's multiple overtime game-winning goals, timely, impactful goal scoring, the most goals that we've seen in a Stanley Cup final since Gretzky. Like, it's just, it's very frustrating. But Sam Bennett right now, 5 goals in the final, 15 in the playoffs, 13 of those on the road, 8 high-danger goals. He's minus 220 for a reason. I like him to win it. I think he will.
Do I dare say something here? Is this going to be controversial in the last 20 seconds? What? You can tell me if I'm wrong maybe when we come back. Draw a line through Connor McDavid. You going to show up at any point in these last few games in this series?
It's not good. And then when you've got a guy like Leon Draisaitl who has 4 overtime game winners.
At least he screamed at his team in that one intermission.
I don't even know if it was him. It was Corey Perry from what I heard, to be honest with you. So on that note, we're going to take a timeout when we come back. Maybe a quick follow-up there, but diving into the 7-game slate in Major League Baseball next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money Moves coming to you live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Thanks for watching. Listening, SiriusXM Channel 158. He's JVT. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. One quick thought as we wrap up some of our Stanley Cup final conversation from yesterday and from last segment, and we'll dive deeper in on this tomorrow with a winner-go-home game for the Oilers on deck. But you referenced that clip of Connor McDavid in the locker room.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't even real. Or no, it was
no,
real.
No, it's but... real. It's real, but I didn't realize that you thought that was this postseason.
It was presented to me as such. The internet got me.
This promo has the been entity. All over the place of Connor McDavid. It was like famous from last year's Stanley Cup final when he was dig the bleep in and you see the door close behind him. Yeah, that was last year. The most rousing speech that I've heard from an intermission was of Corey Perry so far this postseason. So that just furthers the thought process of what you're talking about, Connor McDavid with Conn Smythe here. And if he isn't masterful in the next 2 games and the Oilers win, then I don't think that you can give it to him, even though all of the narrative wants it for him so badly.
Like my whole point here is if you think Edmonton's going to win this, you're betting a Draisaitl lady to win the Conn Smythe. I don't think there's any question. As a reference, these last 3 games, he has 1 goal, 1 assist. They've been outscored by 3 points when he's been on the ice, Connor McDavid. Beginning portion of the series, he was much better. Obviously, we remember he facilitates the game-winning goal in Game 1. He has 3 assists in Game 2. He has largely disappeared since Game 2 and has not been impactful in the series in any way, shape, or form. And I just, outside of just being named Connor McDavid, if I presented that profile to you and said, hey, make the odds for this guy to win Conn Smythe, when his other teammate, Leon Draisaitl, has been literally won games in the series for his team, you would look at that and go, why are they anywhere near one another? Yeah. And it's just because his name is Connor McDavid. So I feel pretty strong about that. Like, if you're looking at this from an odds perspective, and again, if you believe that Edmonton can win this series, I mean, it's Leon Draisaitl. Because here's the other part. You can make the argument, Stormy, and you tell me if I'm wrong here. I think part of the argument would be, well, they're not going to come back in this series unless McDavid is going to wake up. I would say, sure, they're also not going to come back unless Draisaitl's impacting this series too, and he's already got a pretty, I say, large lead on him for this award.
And he's been the goals guy, and he's got the overtime game winners and the pivotal moments that you need, whereas to your point, we haven't seen that from McDavid when you need it most notably in the Stanley Cup final. I'm in such a weird headspace mentally with this series right now because obviously I've been Team Edmonton coming into the series. I did bet them to win the series. I would love the story to finally come together for Connor McDavid, the bounce back for the Oilers after losing the Cup to Florida last year in 7 and all of that. But then I also have that Sam Bennett 20-1 ticket for Conn Smythe. And now, and obviously the most goals in the series too. So now I'm kind of like wheeling and dealing mentally. Can we have this game coming up where Brad Marchand doesn't score, Sam Bennett does, maybe he does something.
You're in the driver's seat.
Push it aside. You know, I
just put a little bit on Marchand to win it and let's go. You're fine. You're going to get this.
All right. Okay.
By the way, Gretzky would have won this series.
Shut
I'm just going to say it. He's the greatest of all time. He would have won this series. It's time to start having the conversation about whether Connor McDavid is the most overrated hockey player of all time.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it's time to start having that talk. I think hockey's very lucky that it's not covered the same way that media covers other sports, because I think it's time to really start thinking about Connor McDavid in the sense
I hate the world with which I live in, you know, on this program
very
at this
overrated.
Current juncture. Okay, let's
Wayne
get to
won. Hashtag Wayne
a little won. Major League Baseball talk, shall we? You're cut off. So you are, we mentioned this earlier, taking over for Adam Burke with the MLB Daily Column right now. Adam is out getting some world traveling in right now. So you've stepped in. Short slate today. Obviously, the big news of the day, woo-hoo! Shohei Ohtani on the mound for the Dodgers. They opened a minus 140 home favorite against the Padres, out to minus 157 right now. Total in this one, 9. Talk us through it.
I disagree with the way that the market is handling this. Ohtani's only opening this game. He's going to pitch at most 2 innings. I think I'm leaning a little bit more toward just, my man, go get 3 outs and then get out of there. We're rolling you in slowly. There is no reason to rush this thing at this point right now. At the most, you can expect 2 innings from Shohei Ohtani, and that is at the absolute most, according to Dave Roberts. Again, I lead toward this just being 1. So we get the news that Ohtani's going to be out there. Obviously, we get this little bump in the market to minus 157. But on the other side, as you might well know here, Stormy, is my guy, Dylan Cease. Cease has been one of those dudes that is the perfect quintessential guy that you're talking about to kind of buy low on. And if you've been following him, actually, you don't need to really buy low because he's been performing very well. On the surface, 2-5 record, 4.28 ERA. But if you look at it, 3.10 fielding independent gives a better sense of where this guy has been pitching. And much of the inflated ERA comes back from a late start, in April, in which he got bombed by the Athletics. In the 11 starts since, he's got a 3.39 ERA, 3.19 FIP. Stat line much more in line with what you're looking at. Dominant swing and miss stuff. I trust Cease to put his team in a position here to potentially win these first 5 frames. And again, I'm kind of playing with the notion that I think the market's overvaluing this opening start by Ohtani. I don't think he's going to give him 2. I think the whole point is just, bro, you have not pinched since 2000. Think about that. Since 2023, we have not seen Shohei Ohtani go out there, get greased up, throw some pitches, get back into the rhythm, and let's just get you out of there after 3 outs. And I think that's what's going to be it. And then we're going to get back to the bullpen yet again for the Dodgers. I think the Padres are in a position to get these first 5 frames. So I think Padres money line first 5 plus 120 worth looking at here tonight in this one.
Okay, I don't think this is one that you wrote up in the article, but
no, I just had one. Like you mentioned, it's a short slate, but there's a lot of really good games that I think have some interesting angles to them.
Okay, well, what do you like?
So
let's go there.
Well, let's start with the 2 games at the minor league parks. I shouldn't highlight this in our rundown, but it's worth mentioning. Orioles at Rays and Astros at Athletics. If I could talk specifically Orioles at Rays, we could start here.
I'm looking at our rundown. Yeah. I'm looking at your article and our rundown, and these things are not matching.
No, they're not. They're all different things. But Yankees. So let's first off, Eflin and Pepio are going to start against one another here. I actually think you can make a strong argument for this game to go over the total. It's 8.5 now, over minus 120. It's a little warm out there. There is some expectation that it might rain in the area, but it doesn't sound like it's actually going to reach the park in any way, shape, or form. So you get 2 guys who have not pitched particularly well that I think can, in an environment like this, give up some runs. We've mentioned this, but since the start of June, as much as you hate to admit it, the Orioles have been one of the better lineups in Major League Baseball. They've been hitting the ball very well. So I think that they can get to Pepio here. Eflin on the other side, not exactly an ace that's going to come out and shut teams down, and some underlying metrics that haven't really been great for him too. So I am somewhat surprised that we haven't gotten up to like 9, and I think some spots even opened 9 and got bet down a little bit here. So I'm in the ballpark of this going over. Okay. And same thing with Houston and Sacramento. That one's like 10.5. Some spots are starting to pop at 10.5. I think the 10.5 is more of a proper number here for this total, only because wind is blowing out. It's going to be warm. You don't have to worry about it. Lance McCullers is on one side for the Houston Astros. I think that this is a matchup that, again, is going to lend itself to some high scores. So those two I thought were very interesting. But of the highlighted games, can I say that I am very interested in Red Sox and Mariners, because Logan Gilbert's going to come back today.
Okay.
And Logan Gilbert, of course, now part of a staff that are starting to get healthy, taking on the Red Sox. But how are we not interested in what the Red Sox are going to look like here, right? Mm-hmm. No Devers in the lineup. Bregman is still on IL. We've seen the market get up to like minus 176 here in favor of Seattle. Some spots open to $170. We've kind of floated around that price. We haven't seen too much. Totals at 7, shaded to the over. Lucas Giolito has been all over the place in terms of what he's been able to do. But in this park, with how bad this Red Sox lineup has been, Logan Gilbert coming back here, I think that this is an interesting affair, which could be pretty low scoring and ugly, given how bad this Red Sox lineup could potentially be. So I think this is one of the more interesting matchups out there. You can make a case for betting under.
I know that's a game that is on Josh Applebaum's radar as well, which we're going to touch on in the next segment. Also get the market reaction from the Devers trade in general. He is out there in Boston, so the fan reaction, yeah. I'm sure that's not going over great either. One more game as well I wanted to touch on. The Angels and Yankees is another one you've got highlighted in here. Both teams fresh off getting swept over the weekend. Yankees, big favorite tonight with Clark Schmidt on the hill, minus 194. Jose Soriano going for your Angels, run total 8.5.
Yeah, so I was interested in this initially in the Bronx Bombers to potentially go over their team total. If you remember, Soriano got that start against Giolito and the Red Sox a couple of weeks ago. We were watching it in here, and that was when that big kerfuffle happened during batting practice, and I had some very emphatic words about the Boston Red Sox in a game they eventually won. But Soriano got knocked around in that game. But even despite that story, if you look at Soriano's splits, especially on the road, he's actually pitched really well away from home when you look at the underlying metrics for him so far this year. Home away, but specifically away for Soriano. ERA right now, floating around. Let me see if we get this exact number here. Why is this not coming up here? Away from home right now for Soriano, 3.19 ERA, and a fielding independent floating in that area as well. He's pitched pretty well away from home, 3.36 for the FIP. So I actually kind of thought, all right, maybe this guy's going to go out against the Bronx Bombers. Aaron Judge has won for his last 13 or 12 or something like that, and he has not hit very well. Maybe this is a good bounce-back spot, but came away having a little bit more faith that maybe this thing could go under the total two. Soriano, larger sample size, has pitched well away from home. Judge is finally starting to pay for the batting average on balls in play, nearly 500. That's not starting to go for him. Maybe that continues here as he's in the middle of a cold streak. And, of course, on the other side, I'm a Clark Schmidt guy. Numbers indicate that he's pitching pretty well. And this Angels lineup has been held down by lesser pitchers before. So I thought that this was a game that I changed my opinion, looking a little bit deeper. Thought it was a bounce-back spot for the Yankees after getting swept by the Red Sox. Ultimately came away kind of shaken by what you're looking at. So lean a little under, but didn't think that it was worth getting into.
Okay, good breakdown. Reminder, everybody, again, the article up right now on VSiN.com of the best bets for a handful of the games today. No day baseball today, which is unfortunate. 7-game slate in the evening. When we come back, we will get into more of that with VSiN market analyst Josh Applebaum, helping us talk through where the money is going on the MLB slate today and his reaction to all things Boston next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
When you have huge news in Boston, for anyone who missed it, and I don't know how you could, Boston. Rafael Devers, face of the franchise. Yeah, are we saying that right? Boston?
Mm-hmm.
You got to like hit it with the accent a little bit. Traded to the San Francisco Giants, and we can get the full lowdown on both the trade and the accent with our next guest who joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line, Josh Applebaum, VSiN, betting analyst, market analyst, host of the All Systems Go podcast, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. What's going on, Josh, and are we saying that correctly?
We can work on it a little bit, Stormy. Don't worry. It's really your R's become A's. That's the biggest thing when you get to your Boston accent, but yeah, I mean, what a crazy weekend. What a stunning and surprising trade. I mean, you're in the middle of Father's Day. The Red Sox, who have kind of just been up and down all year, they sweep the Yankees. They've won 7 of 8. This is a team that, again, I grew up loving, and I still do, and I'll be a diehard Red Sox fan forever. Breaking the curse was kind of the, just the Mount Everest of my sports fandom. But really what you've seen the last few years is the city of Boston really just falling out of love with the Red Sox because they were doing things like this, trading away good players. The Mookie Betts deal still stings a lot. But then you finally get momentum. You finally start to turn it around. And then on Father's Day, you trade away your best player. So to me, guys, this is kind of how maybe it feels as a Dallas Mavericks fan. Probably people have made this comparison, but the Luka trade. And also, I think this became a little bit of a personal issue between Craig Breslow, management, and Devers. Remember, this didn't come out of nowhere. In a way, you can't believe they traded Devers, but in another way, if you've been paying attention, this has been a soap opera drama situation really from the beginning. The Red Sox bring in Alex Bregman. They tell Devers he's got to move to DH or play first. He won't do it. Early in spring training, he stormed out of spring training and just basically was MIA for about a week. Obviously, he takes over at DH, had a terrible start, but really turned it on and started to play great. But then I think from a Red Sox perspective, there was a key moment when John Henry flew out to Kansas City to talk to Devers, and we didn't really know how that went, but Breslow was not included in that conversation. And then you're hearing basically all the afterward comments saying, hey, you know, with this big contract there comes responsibilities to be a team player. So I think the easiest thing would be to say, hey, this was a split where management and Devers were on opposite sides. They both grew to kind of hate each other, which is what you kind of saw with Nico Collins and Luca. But to me, guys, this is just the Red Sox dumping a salary. I think this is a huge deal, over, you know, $250 million left. The Giants, we have seen their postseason odds to win the World Series increase from plus 3,000 to plus 2,500. But the Red Sox, they're saying, oh, now we can have flexibility. We can play these young kids. But now their World Series odds have really fallen down to plus 4,500. So if you're a Red Sox fan, it hurts. Just when you get excited about the team, they trade away, obviously their best player here. And again, the timing is weird. You win 7 of 8, you sweep the Yankees, then you deal Devers. Obviously, it's excited about, Roman Anthony and all these other young guys. But man, trading away your best player tells me they're punting on the year. They're playing the long game. And John Henry is happy to save some money with this deal.
All right, I know you have some plays to get to, but really quickly, minus 205 to miss the playoffs now for the Red Sox. What do you think the rest of the season holds with Bregman still on the IL in that lineup with a lot of young guys, but also somewhat thin?
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, JBT, you lose your best hitter. I think that's obviously a negative here. The other hand would be, was Devers a clubhouse cancer? Was he the kind of – and you hear all the time the players loved him, but a guy who wouldn't go to first base to do what's right for the team, you know, getting rid of that player. Is there maybe an addition by subtraction there with some of these young players? You can now mix and match the DH spot. They could bring up Masataka Yoshida, who hasn't played all year. I mean, really, the odds makers are telling you, yes, they are going to miss the postseason. These young kids could give you excitement for the future. But you lose one of your best players. Yes, Bregman will come back, but he's still about a month away. I think the Red Sox could be competitive. I'm upset because I had the over 85.5 win total. It closed 86.5. I was feeling good. Of course, they trade away Devers. So, I mean, I don't know if I want to lay 200 JBT. It's kind of an expensive price, but just goes to show you the winner and the loser of this deal, obviously, is the Giants getting Devers, and the loser is the Red Sox losing Devers.
Well, what's it look like in the immediate future without that bat in the lineup today? Red Sox plus 144, road dogs with Lucas Giolito on the hill, Logan Gilbert going for Seattle, the Mariners minus 176 favorites right now, run total there 7. I know this was a game that stood out to you on the list today.
Yeah, it jumped out to me, obviously, with the Devers saga and all that going on right now, but also just from a market move, Stormy, give me Seattle in this one. I think the Mariners are in a good spot to get this series opener. You have Lucas Giolito with the Red Sox, who's 2-1, 5.45 ERA. He's been really bad, but he did have a really good start his last time out. He'll be opposed by Logan Gilbert, a good young stud. He was coming off the injured list, but 1-1, 2.37 ERA. To me, Stormy, this is all about the line movement. You open Seattle around a minus 165 home favorite, Red Sox around plus 140, plus 145. And we actually saw this line get all the way at one point up to like minus 190. This line was really, really high earlier today. I think the line got so high with the Red Sox that maybe you saw that buyback just saying, hey, plus money on a Red Sox team, maybe brought it down a little bit. But from opener to current, about 10 cents movement in favor of Seattle. The bet splits look pretty good on Seattle. They're only getting about half the tickets, but nearly 2/3 of the money at DraftKings. So you do have that low bets, higher dollar split. And then a lot of system matches here, Stormy. If you look at Monday home favorites with a line move in their direction, they're 65% this year with a 4% ROI. If you look at bigger home favorites, minus 170 or more in the opening game of a new series, they're 76% with an 11% ROI. Both teams off a win, just take the home favorite, a very simple one. That's 69% with a 12% ROI. And then if you're a non-division home favorite off a win with a line move in your direction, 66% with a 4% ROI. Also, you're kind of a bigger favorite here with Seattle, a very low total of 7. So correlative betting, favorite low total would kind of benefit Seattle in this spot. Red Sox only 15-19 on the road. So again, maybe this is Devers is gone and let's rally with Devers gone. But maybe this is a reality check. A lot of pressure on your young players. I like Seattle in this spot to get a win.
All right, what about AL West showdown here? Houston and Sacramento right now. Lance McCullers set to get the start. Look at the Astros, about a $1.55 favorite. Total of 10 out there in the minor league park, Josh.
Yeah, JVT, we're waiting, kind of waiting on this one because we knew it would be McCullers for Houston, and then there was a question, would it be JP Sears? Who would pitch for the Athletics? Ends up being Mitch Spence, the righty. He's 2-1 with a 3.67 ERA. McCullers 1-2, 4.91 ERA. But I'm going to go with Houston in this one, JVT. Not a huge line move, not quite as big as that move on Seattle. We open this game, Houston, around minus 150. They're upwards of, you know, closing in on minus 160 at this point. Where you guys are at Circa, pretty hefty split here in favor of Houston. Over 90% of moneyline bets and dollars going with the Astros. One system that I really like is if you are looking at a matchup where both teams are coming off a win, take the favorite if they're minus 150 or more. So basically both teams won, we have one team that's really kind of favored much more over the other. That system is 20-8 this year, 71%, 7% ROI. McCullers has pitched better. Remember, he got a lot of flack there. There's that whole, you know, situation where he was getting those death threats, which kind of clouded maybe his start, but he's starting to turn it around. 3.27 ERA in his last two starts in June. And he's actually 1-0 with a 0 ERA on the road. You look at Houston's bullpen. I think this, if you're in a tight game, you're really hoping Houston can lock it down and the bats of the Astros can get to the A's. A's have the worst bullpen in baseball, ERA of nearly 6. Astros are fifth best, 3.19 ERA. And then they also look at the A's just playing good teams. If they play an opponent with an above 500 record, they're only 14-25, 36% with a minus 20% ROI. So I'm going to take a shot here on Houston, guys. And also remember, at this stadium, you see a lot of overs. This total is pretty high, 10.5 here.
Okay, let's go to the nightcap. Curious your thoughts on the market reaction to Shohei Ohtani on the hill for the Dodgers today, taking on Dylan Cease and the San Diego Padres. We were talking a little bit earlier. JVT said he'd be shocked if we saw more than two innings from Shohei Ohtani today. What's your perspective on this game and the market reaction?
Yeah, Stormy, I agree with JVT. I think with obviously Shohei, I'm kind of surprised. You know, you heard rumblings of he was doing bullpens and kind of getting closer, but kind of out of nowhere, they're like, oh, he's going to start tomorrow. So I would agree it's going to be kind of a short start. I don't know if they've kind of released a pitch limit here, but maybe an inning and a half, two innings, something like that. Get his feet wet, feel good, and kind of move on from there. But the betting market is moving toward the Dodgers in this one. Even though Ohtani may not go deep into the game pitching-wise, the line move has been toward Los Angeles. They opened this game around minus 145. They're now up to around minus 155, minus 160. Over at DraftKings, you're getting 77% of bets, 84% of dollars on the Dodgers. And then tonight, guys, this is actually my number one system match game. I get all these system matches, and I get a number for each team. I have 7 systems here lighting up on the Dodgers. Some of them are home favorite off a win with a winning record and a line move, 66%, 4% ROI. Home favorite with a line move on a team who made the postseason, 67%. Both off the win, take the home favorite, 69%. And then kind of a wonky one, but a home favorite who made the playoffs playing another team who made the playoffs. Typically in those kind of high rivalry matchups, you see that favorite do well. They're nearly 70% this year in that spot. Dodgers bats, really going to bank on them. They're hitting 264, scored 399 runs. You look at the Padres here, only hitting 249 with 295 runs. And the Dodgers are the number one hitting team in baseball at home. They're hitting nearly 280. Cease is 0-3 with an ERA of nearly 6 on the road. I like the Dodgers. Maybe get some momentum, a little juice with Ohtani back. I laid it here with LA. I think you can still get around minus 155.
Good stuff, Josh. Appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks for this. And, you know, stay strong with the Devers news. Stay strong.
Hey, man, I'm trying. Bogarts, Betts, Devers. I thought I'd have them forever. They're all gone. Stormy. What can you do?
It's just unfair. Josh Applebaum, everybody. Appreciate the time as always. You can follow him on X at @Josh_insights. And of course, the All Systems Go podcast. You heard us reference a handful of times there, some bet splits, different numbers from DraftKings and Circa at VSiN.com right now. When you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get access to those exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 your first month right now. And that's the full broad perspective that you get from DraftKings, as well as where professional bettors are placing their bets here at Circa Resort and Casino. We're going to take a timeout. Best bets wrapping up. Money Moves next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Got a little more MLB news over the break. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you live at downtown Las Vegas Circa Resort and Casino. Before we get to some of our best bets, Giancarlo Stanton is back. Today's the day.
Yeah, that's it. There you go. You covered it.
Okay, come on.
No, seriously, like, that's it. Like, he's making a season debut.
70
it's the first
games
game
away,
back.
Elbow yeah. issues, it's big news.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Yankees have done a brilliant job against him. We talked about this, how well Soriano's pitched. So you get another bat in the lineup. I don't think it's anything to go crazy about. I don't think the market's going to freak out about it. Just worth pointing out that Giancarlo Stanton is going to make his season debut. The Yankees lineup, which is one of the best in Major League Baseball, now gets another bat in the group, and we will see if he can be effective right out the gate or if it's going to take some time. But either way, some depth to one of the best offenses in Major League Baseball.
And after the Yankees just had, what, four runs in a couple games after getting swept
yes.
by the Red Sox?
Very good point.
Sure, you could use them. Went 3-for-11 with a double and two RBIs, one RBI during a rehab stint with Double-A Somerset
last week. I still will say it should be RSBI, but that's just me.
Or just RBI, like, don't yes. add the S on the end. It
Correct.
Just doesn't make sense.
Correct. Because it's runs batted in, but then
Correct.
You go RBIs.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense at all. With you, it's either RBI or
yeah.
much
it
like
should
moose.
Just be RBI.
Right. What's the term for that? Like moose and things like that, where the singular and plural is the same?
Yes.
Got to be the same.
Funny sidebar real quickly. Have you ever played Cards Against Humanity?
Every once in a while, yeah.
So I was playing this a couple years ago with my mom. I don't know why this memory sticks out in my head so much. But goose geese, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a card that said geese on it. And my mom got the card and she's trying to read the joke out. And she goes, geez. And everybody around is like, what are you talking about right now? That doesn't make any sense. And like, oh, yeah, it's just not a funny one. She flips over the card and we're like, geese, Sherry?
Yeah, geese.
Geese? But yes, it is one of those. One
Had to
of those.
Be there. Had to be there.
Apparently. Sorry. I love that game. Do you not like Cards Against Humanity?
I mean, yeah, it's fine. I haven't played it for a long time. I think it fell out of style. I don't think it's as – it was very popular for a while.
Well, it's a very politically incorrect game
sure.
as well, so you have to have the right crowd for it.
Yep, and I'm very, very politically
yes,
correct. I don't make any inappropriate jokes anyway whatsoever.
Never.
Got some good Aaron Rodgers material.
Very, very good Aaron Rodgers material over the weekend in Omaha, by the way. But again, that's the VSiN Plus Plus subscription, so got to stick with what we have here. We were talking during the commercial break, following up the conversation with Josh Applebaum about Shohei getting his first start today against the Padres, and it's not going to be a traditional start. He's not ready to go a full game length. Dave Roberts even said he wouldn't be surprised if he just goes a single inning, but there are a handful of props that are available for Shohei today. For inquiring minds, the strikeouts set at 1.5. One plus is like mm-hmm. minus 550, but if you go to 2+, you're getting a little over even money. 3+, plus 330, and the numbers just jump and jump and jump. But you actually said the walks were a number that intrigued you.
Yeah. So first off, again, we haven't seen Ohtani pitch for a very long time. Yes, he's done the simulated games and whatnot. But still, not pitching in a major league game since 2023 is a pretty long time. Ohtani, throughout the course of his career, if you look at it from a pitching standpoint, he's one of those guys that we have discussed many times, right? Strikeout rate, very high, balances that out with a relatively high walk rate. In 2023, he walked 10% of the batters he faced. Actually does walk guys at an above average clip, or I guess you view it the other way, so a below average clip. So I don't think it'd be the craziest thing in the world if we see him go out there again, getting the arm loose for the first time, actually have a little bit of command issue, and then you're getting what on 1+ walk?
Plus 130.
Yeah. So I'll add that in today. I think that's worth looking at there. 1+ walk, plus 130. Again, just walk one guy. Now, your sample size is very small, so that's the tough part about it, right? You know, you need to walk one of maybe three batters he's going to face. But I'll put it this way. I'd rather go with the 1+ walk than over, like, you know, the strikeouts, with whatever the minuscule number it is. Just because, like, if I were to ask you, what do you think is more likely for a guy who hasn't pitched since 2023? Elite command, right?
Yeah.
Like, in the ability to just, like, you know, dot it and immediately get guys swing and miss and destroy them, or funky command and an inability to at least sit guys down in a timely fashion. It'd probably be that one.
I mentioned the 1+, 2+, 3+ numbers for strikeouts, but the over-under for that total is 1.5, over plus 105, under minus 140. So you can bet that one either way. Obviously, no odds out there for outs recorded, hits allowed, things like that. But those are your couple options there with Shohei today. And again, the Dodgers out to around minus 157, 12-cent move on the opener in that game today, which, as we do get into the rest of our best bets presented by G-Bank, you do have a play on the Padres in the F5 in that one tonight.
Yeah, we're going to back our guy Cease here, man. I believe in Dylan Cease. We've talked about it on this show plenty of times. Again, kind of pushing back on what I think the market is kind of doing here, which is maybe overvaluing a skosh, the return of Shohei Ohtani. Again, I don't think he's going to pitch that well. Meanwhile, Cease has been brilliant over his last 11 starts, and the underlying metrics paint the picture of a guy who's a top end of the rotation dude who has pitched very well. By the way, his last start was against this Dodgers team, and he held them down and pitched very well. I think you can do that again here if you're Dylan Cease and put the Padres in a position to potentially win these first five frames against Ohtani and then whoever else is going to come out behind him. So I think that is worth playing again. First five, plus 122. Price got me in as well. Padres first five money line. Also, I'll throw out a couple more, at least in baseball, really quickly, if I could. Mm-hmm. We talked about both of these, added these as well while we were discussing them. Orioles, Rays over 8.5, minus 120. Astros, Athletics over 10, minus 115.
Okay, reminder to JVT's article up on VSiN.com right now. Rounding out the best bets, we have game five in the NBA Finals coming up tonight. I know you don't have a play officially on the Sider total here, but there is a prop that you put in as a best bet.
Yeah, I thought this was worth playing at the price, 8.5 because of the number, right? So minus 140, I know like the general bet or like would bulk maybe at something like that, but I think minus 140 is fair to play on the number of 8.5 for Tyrese Halliburton assists. Again, we discussed this heading over the weekend. We were in the, as the kids say, the haw. When you looked at the assist props for Tyrese Halliburton in the first two games, the numbers were 6.5, goes under each of them. The Thunder defense have played very well in three of the four games we've seen in this series, and specifically at home, they're pretty good. I think they're going to limit the Tyrese Halliburton assist opportunities. You have astutely pointed out, when we've talked about this market, remember, what was it? 6.5 for games one and game two.
Yep.
Game three got up to 7.5. Game four was up to 8.5. And I think he's gone under in three of the four games that we have played here. So with this increase, the change in venue, the constant defensive presence for Oklahoma City that really hasn't budged outside of one game, I think the opportunity to go under 8.5 at minus 140 is a more than fair price to lay there for Halliburton. So under 8.5 assists, minus 140 tonight for Halliburton.
I totally agree with it. Love it, especially like exactly what we talked about the other day. That game three assist number, he put up 11. It adjusts the market. Yep. He still has 7 in the previous game, and yet we're at 8.5 again. Just makes too much sense there. Best bets again presented by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And if you haven't heard yet, time to learn more about the GBank First Bet and VSiN trifecta. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature card. Your first 90 days from opening the account, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. That triggers the $500 trifecta. You'll get $200 in cashback rewards on your signature card. First Bet gives you a $100 deposit match. And then VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, $200 value there. So that's the trifecta. VSiN.com/GBank for more information. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to the offer. Does not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. I don't have a best bet on game five tonight, but I feel like I would take the points before I would lay it. Just another one of these numbers that I feel like is too high for OKC a little bit. I just don't know if I'll end up on it by the time we get to tip off or not.
I think it's fair. Again, I think you can make the argument like, hey, we're back to game one. Like, we're adjusting back down. This is a short number for OKC. But I don't think, as we have discussed many times, I don't think that it would not be prudent to say, I haven't seen anything from OKC that would make me think I can stay off of this number. No, you've seen a lot from OKC that would make you scared of laying this big number. Indiana has proven themselves to be a team on the same level as the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I think you can make the argument that this number should be closer to 6.5 than it should be 9.5. So I would generally agree with the premise. Zach wrote it up on the website today up at VSiN.com. He is on the Indiana Pacers today. Had a great write-up on it.
As he has been every step of the way, and he's been great.
Yep, been very consistent in that. So I'm with you. Like, to me, it would be Pacers or pass. We've kind of shifted that for the last, like, three games or so as we have discussed this now, the way that this thing has been priced.
Does it surprise you from a betting splits perspective? And maybe this is a question we should have asked Josh Applebaum, but 74% of bets, but 49% of the handle on the Pacers. And even here at Circa, around 70% of bets, 39% of the handle.
On the Pacers?
On the Pacers.
I mean, not really, because, again, you're over 66% now. In this series, you're now, 3-0, just betting the straight-up loser in the next game.
But it's rare, though, to say, like, the public is all over the dog.
Yeah.
But that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I think they're just it seems like maybe there's just some blind backing every game of the straight-up loser because it's been working so well. And why not?
5-0 straight up and ATS for the Pacers in the bounce back game.
Sure. There's that too. There's a lot of strongest trends that you could point to that would say Indiana or nothing.
All right, that's a wrap for us. When we
another hour?
Come back tomorrow, I know you wish there was, but
I just like spending time with you.
Oh, what a guy. We'll dive into everything that transpires tonight tomorrow when we are back here on the program, but keep it locked right here on VSiN. Following Money Moves, Prop Points with Nick Whalen is on deck. Stick around for Make It Rain with our guy Adam Schein. And the Follow the Money crew, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard leading you up to tip off later on tonight. Have a great day, everybody. Good luck with your bets.